This podcast is brought to you by Reasons to Believe. Reasons to Believe is a science faith think tank integrating modern scientific discoveries with truths of the Bible. Visit our website at reasons.org.
Welcome to Straight Thinking, a program that highlights the importance of the life of the Christian mind and seeks to evaluate critical issues in light of the historic Christian worldview. This is Joe Aguirre, your host, along with theologian and philosopher Kenneth Samples. Ken, we've been on an exciting series on the resurrection. I've been intrigued by these alternative explanations that naturalists offer. You have a couple more today.
We do, you know, and as we think through these, I want our listeners to appreciate that something happened in the resurrection. So if certain explanations are inadequate, don't we have to gravitate somewhere and ask what is the best explanation? And this is that process of abductive reasoning, an inference to the best explanation. And this is a standard way in which you would approach something that's controversial, something that has competing different ideas. This is how you would appropriately approach it from a very logical, rational point of view.
You will discuss the final two hypotheses in just a moment. But first, we want to remind listeners of the upcoming Alaska cruise with Reasons to Believe Scholars on August 8th through the 15th. Ken, you'll be part of that team, and it's going to be the 7 days of creation in which people will be able to hear lectures by each of the scholar team, lots of free time to rub elbows with you scholars and go on trips, day trips, hiking, sightseeing, shopping. Is there shopping on the trip?
There is. I better keep an eye on my wife's credit card.
That's right. I think you start off in Vancouver. That's where you'll fly and then take the ship through Inspiration Cruises up through the Inside Passage of Alaska, the panhandle there where there's a lot of islands along the coast, so it's protected waters. You're not in any rough seas, so anyone who might experience some kind of seasickness, I imagine that's a non-issue.
I'm told of people who've been on these cruises that there isn't very much motion sickness at all. It's smooth sailing. Vancouver, by the way, is where Hugh Ross grew up.
That's right.
So we're going to be kind of going back to where he was a young fellow and where he became a Christian.
Imagine that, 7 days with Hugh Ross and the other scholars, but you'll learn a lot about Hugh. He'll probably have you hiking quite a bit, too, before the cruise is over. But you'll learn a lot about God's creation. You'll be meeting other people, like-minded people, having a great time. The food you can't beat, of course. And again, the location, that area of Alaska where you're going to see glaciers, make sure you have a very good camera. I would imagine, Ken, the photography is going to be
spectacular. Yes, don't forget your camera.
You also have at this time of year the long daylight hours. So
that's
another
factor. Hugh has said that there may be some astronomy sites that we'll be able to see that you don't regularly get to see.
Right. So again, that's August 8th through the 15th. You can go to our website and learn more about it. Inspiration Cruises has brought down the price so significantly, so you can check out the rates there and learn much more about it. So we sure hope you take advantage of this chance to have a week with the Scholar Team, August 8th through the 15th. Okay, Ken, let's go ahead and talk about two more explanatory hypotheses. These four so far have been intriguing, yet leave much to be desired.
That's right. We looked at the myth and legend idea. We looked at the idea that the disciples came, stole the body, created a hoax. A third one was the women went to the wrong tomb. And then the last one was the swoon theory that advocated that Jesus may not have been dead. And we've seen that those have, I think, enormous problems with them. They do not give a consistent picture. But let's look at two more.
Okay.
Hypothesis number five. Maybe the followers of Jesus could have simply hallucinated rather than actually seeing him after his death. Hmm. I mean, people do experience hallucinations. Could the visionary elements of this be explained in terms of some type of private, subjective, psychiatric situation? Well, as plausible as that may seem initially, it's got some devastating criticisms. Jesus appears to various people at various times in various places. If I can use the word various one more time, in various circumstances. That is, the hallucination hypothesis, Joe, simply can't reasonably account for all of this data. I mean, people have hallucinations who are very high strung. Maybe they have been on drugs or have had very little food or water. But how would you explain that people inside and outside, friends and enemies, under all kinds of different circumstances, would the 500 brethren have had the same hallucination? Hallucinations are very private and very personal. Mm-hmm. How would they all have had the same mass hallucination?
Yeah, this so is, I guess the idea is maybe you have this close-knit group so wrapped up in the idea of his resurrection that perhaps you can, quote, fool some people, a few people, but by no means could you get the whole lot of them, especially 500
at a time. This is incredibly implausible mm-hmm. to be able to pull that off. It gets worse, though. Mary in the garden might have been a possible candidate for a hallucination. But what about, Joe, those people who were not so favorably disposed to the cause of Jesus? Mm-hmm. Would James have had a hallucination who said, along with his family, I think my brother is off his rocker. Mm-hmm. He is not in an emotional state that would have led him that way. And I guarantee Saul of Tarsus would not be an ideal candidate to have had an hallucination, as opposed as he was to all of these kinds of things. So it is, again, accounting for all of the data and the variety mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. We've asked the question, would the 500 brethren that Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians 15, would they have had the same exact hallucination? Very, very difficult. Now, the apostles, as Orthodox Jews, they didn't believe in a risen Messiah, Joe. Hmm. Since hallucinations are mere projections of what is already in the mind, the apostles would never have had a resurrection hallucination.
So that wasn't in the picture.
That wasn't in the picture. Mm-hmm. They were thinking some kind of general resurrection at the end of time, mm-hmm. but the idea that the Messiah would rise from the dead, it took them by surprise. In fact, Jesus has to even tell them and remind them of what was predicted in this context. The hallucination hypothesis also doesn't account for the empty tomb. We're back to that needing more than one explanatory hypothesis. The hallucination, if it were adequate, might explain the visual appearances, wouldn't explain the empty tomb.
Mm-hmm. Ken, could we liken this, and boy, I hate to get people who believe in UFOs angry unnecessarily, but could we liken this to alleged UFO sightings in that it's possible that somebody who really wants to believe a UFO could see one, but there's no way you're going to get everybody who happens to be in that vicinity. There'll be other alternative hypotheses, maybe some with more scientific merit that will override this supposed UFO sighting.
Yeah.
Can we liken it that way a little bit?
Yeah, I think you could. And of course, to have a hallucination, because it is created from the inner subjective psychological state of mind, there has to be the anticipation of something. In the case of the apostles, they didn't expect it.
Right.
And how would you have differing personalities? They're not all people suffering from emotional difficulties or a lack of food or things like this. This makes it very difficult. And I think ultimately this hypothesis cannot account for the facts and has very, very limited explanatory power.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's the fifth one.
We got one more,
yeah,
number six.
Is this one going to rescue us now?
Well, I think you're going to find this very intriguing. This is a very interesting one. How about hypothesis six? Jesus could have had an identical twin brother who was separated at birth but later returned to impersonate the resurrected Christ.
Wow.
Now, I know where this hypothesis came from. It came from a person who said, look, miracles are so improbable, they don't happen. Therefore, as improbable as it might be, this is a better explanation because supernatural miracles are so improbable.
Yeah, so there's that, did you call it a priori reasoning?
That's right.
Yeah.
You really can't have something going against this claim because it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Boy, this would seem tough to pull off. Where do you hide that twin brother, first of all?
Yeah. I mean, think of the scenario. You've got this Jesus lookalike, right? And he has to somehow discover his amazing resemblance to Jesus of Nazareth. Now, the idea is they're twins separated at birth.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the scriptures tell us that Mary and Joseph had a single child named Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't fit the facts
right.
There right away. But, I mean, consider what would happen. Would this lookalike come along and notice Jesus and say, wow, we look a lot alike? And then he'd kind of lurk in the, you know, in the shadows for a while and then discover that Jesus is crucified. So he does what? He inflicts the wounds in his hands and in his feet. Does he do it by himself? Does he have somebody working with him to do this kind of thing? And then he jumps out at the last second and presents himself as the risen Lord. Mm. Of course, what happened to the empty tomb and the rock? And does he get people to push the stone away? And where does this guy go? And who would do this kind of thing? What would motivate somebody to do this kind
of
thing?
How much was he paid?
Yeah, I mean, I think this illustrates the point, Joe, that this is really an ad hoc hypothesis.
Mm.
It's coming along to try to explain things that aren't adequately explained by the theory. This theory is bizarre and terribly implausible. It assumes that miracles don't happen. So, you know, what are we left with? I think we are left with six naturalistic hypotheses that lack explanatory power and scope, are inconsistent, don't fit all of the data, cannot explain all of the data. You need multiple theories to be able to explain everything, and they're not terribly coherent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage people to go back to the resurrection hypothesis and back to that earlier quote by William Lane Craig, that the resurrection, the interpretation that Jesus did rise from the dead bodily, it is a single theory that does fit the data. Now, if you're a skeptic listening or you're an agnostic, it may challenge you to consider the supernatural. But, Joe, I think the way you deal with things like that is you study the evidence
mm-hmm.
and you open yourself to where the evidence directly leads, even if it challenges your presuppositions.
Yeah, yeah. Ken, would an attorney follow this line of thinking, the way you've outlined it here in this series of podcasts?
Very much so. In fact, one of the distinguished attorneys at Harvard University 100 years ago, Simon Greenleaf, was a distinguished attorney, a jurist, a scholar of the law, and he wrote a book about the resurrection and the apostles' testimony. And he concluded in that in a unbiased courtroom, they would have concluded that there is a powerful case to be made for the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
That book is still available.
That's Simon Greenleaf?
Simon Greenleaf. Mm. I'm not sure I can give you the exact title. But it is in Without a Doubt,
mm-hmm.
so you can reference my book.
Great. Well, thank you for that, Ken. That brings us to the seventh of eight podcasts, and you're going to leave us with some hope on the next one, right?
I am. We're going to talk about why does all this matter, and why is it so important that at the heart of our faith is a resurrected Christ, and I don't want anybody to miss it, because that's the real payoff.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. You have written about this in your book, Without a Doubt, so people can consult that resource to learn more about the resurrection. We sure hope you have enjoyed this series. Give us some feedback or some questions, if you will, at ask@reasons.org. Ken has also written the book, A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test, so you might want to pick up that book as well. This is Joe Aguirre with a reminder that the historic Christian faith involves knowledge and is compatible with reason. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for Straight Thinking.
This podcast is made possible through support from individuals like you. To learn more about supporting Reasons to Believe, go to www.reasons.org/donate or call 800-482-7836.